trying to call number.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point.
It's not available.
On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Good day, wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Give me one moment to give a message to my guest, to call into Mitchell. We have major, major breaking news now. Major breaking news. If I can't get him now, I'll bring him in at the break, at the bottom of the hour. Here's what happened on Friday night. You're going to hear Mark Meadows, chief of staff, and Joe Cipollone, who's the general counsel, oppose the president's appointment of Sidney Powell as a general counsel, as a special counsel to investigate the voter fraud and all that. Listen to this. This is a guy who was there.
President Trump has been buried in lead. I was in the room when President Trump, so at one point, Pat Cipollone and one of his hissy fits yelled at the president, stood up and was yelling at the president. I almost decked this guy. He's a rude little son of a bitch. And Flynn stood up. I mean, Flynn is a real gentleman, as gentlemanly as it gets. And he even took to his feet at one point at three lawyers who were screaming. And I went and ended up standing shoulder to shoulder with Flynn and facing off with these guys. There was almost a fist fight. Trump said, President Trump said later, there's probably not been a meeting like this in 200 years in the Oval Office. I can tell you that I saw President Trump, Cipollone, the general counsel, said something like, if you really, you don't even need me. You can just do this verbally. If you really want to appoint Sidney Powell special counsel, you can just say it. And after 15 more minutes of arguing, President Trump said, you know what? You don't, you said, I don't need, Cipollone said, you don't even need a pencil and paper if you want to do this. But if you do that, you know, this and that. And 20 minutes later, Trump said, you know what? I've made my decision. Sidney Powell, you were appointed White House special counsel. And somebody objected, well, she doesn't need it. She needs a clearance. And that's going to take X money, this and that. And President Trump said, you know what? I have the ability to give a clearance with my word. I hereby give you a TSSCI clearance. This is done. Wow. This decision is done. We're going. The next day, Sidney Powell, this was in front of Mark Meadows, was on the phone. This was in front of the legal staff, and it was in front of the myself, Flynn, Sidney, and General Flynn, Sidney, and the other lawyer, whose name for her own security I don't want to use. And the next day, Sidney Powell called Mark Meadows and said, well, now that I'm White House special counsel, I'm going to need an office at the White House. And Mark Meadows said, Sidney, I don't know if we can really do that. And Sidney said, well, okay, I at least need a pass so I can come and go. And Meadows said, actually, I don't think we can really do that either. So they are directly are refusing to execute an order from the president. Today's Tuesday. On Monday, Sidney Powell went to go over to the White House and was refused. Actually, I was with her Sunday night, and she was refused admittance. I mean, we got into the White House, but they refused. They will not inform him, even though he has directly said, I heard him say that they do not have to worry about access. Me and Michael do not have to worry about access. They have direct access. His people are refusing to execute his orders. That's how crazy it's gotten. They are refusing to execute his orders. And today, the same thing is going on. And since then, everyone we know has had a lead wall come down around him. His own staff, Mark Meadows, and Pat Cipollone have taken control of the Oval Office, and they are refusing to follow President Trump's orders. It's the craziest thing about it. Fired this little weasel on the spot for the way he talked. If he had ever talked to me, it was all I could do not to slap the guy. He was so rude to the president.
This is explosive. So, and I just want to stop for a second and just kind of recapture here, because Maggie Haberman has done a real disservice to the country, putting out information that's categorically and patently false. And you are here dispelling what exactly went on. I had the opportunity to speak to General Flynn yesterday, and he sort of recaptured a little bit of this, but I was talking to General Flynn in terms of this is President Trump's Abraham Lincoln moment right now. I mean, there's so much evidence of fraud. Thanks to the work you and your team have done, Sidney Powell, Rudy, Jenna, the whole team has worked really quickly. And of course, the army of digital soldiers that, General Flynn patented and coined the name for, right? There has been more information revealed by the army of anons out there than what you see going on in the Oval Office, with the exception of you, Sidney, and General Flynn in that meeting on Friday. Here's the thing. Patrick, are these people all about self-preservation at this point because they think there's no way for the president to win and they're just kind of throwing in the towel? What are they doing here? Or are they totally anti-Trumpers?
They are lying to him about his authorities and powers. I'm a better lawyer than these guys are because, I mean, it was crazy. And they would say, no, you can't do that. And Sidney would say, well, actually, he can. Look at this. He's already signed this and there's already this law. He absolutely has the power to do that. And they'd be like, maybe. But they were perpetually in the mode of no, 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 no. To the point that they were saying no without reasons. They were saying no and then caucusing with each other to try to figure out what the reason is for the no. But they're just in the mode of no. I have talked to, for the last 2 months, I've met a lot of people in this administration. And I can tell you, I'm being told in the White House, the message is going out from Pat Cipollone and the legal team, as well as Mark Meadows, just get the president to concede. We just want to get him into transition mode. Meanwhile, on the same day I'm being told that they are telling that to people beneath them, I'm in the Oval Office with them, and they're telling the president, oh, no, we weren't doing our best, but we just don't see a way. It's disgusting. Flynn and I. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
This is so discouraging. This is how out of touch Washington, D.C. is with the rest of us out here that are fighting and scrapping.
You know why they're doing it? Because the signal has gone out. If you're good boys and you get the president out on January 20th, there's $1.5 million. In fact, President Trump said to one of the people there, one of the three lawyers, it was his last night, and he was leaving that night. He stayed to midnight with us, but he left. But President Trump said, you know why this guy's leaving us? He just got an offer for 10 times the salary from another law firm in D.C. What's happened is all these people know that if they get the president out on January 20, there's jobs waiting for them at law firms and lobbyists for $1 million and up jobs. But if they don't get him out, and if they do, they're going to be invited to the right socialite parties in New York. Hey, I've been to those socialite parties. You aren't missing anything. It's, you know, it's slumming as far as I'm concerned. Hang out with a better class of people than going to hanging around that group in New York. So they're being tempted with offers like that, and they're being told, I'm told by people involved, they're being told if you don't get him out on January 20th, all of that goes away. So these people are privately being offered massive jobs if they just get President Trump out.
Well, there you have it. That's explosive news. Absolutely acts of treason we're talking about there. And we have further a confirmation.
This is not a Babylon Bee article. This is not an Onion article. Well, maybe it might be.
Excuse me for that. We have these key people. We have this Mark Meadows, who's a North Carolina politician who's become Trump's chief of staff. And we have this Pat Cipollone, who is the general counsel. These people are betraying the president of the United States. They're committing treason. These are acts of treason. Have no doubt about it. And it's blatant, and they're being bribed by the deep state. Now, this is absolutely stunning. It must be brought to an end. That president, these individuals need to be subjected to, at the very least, a citizen's arrest. I am astonished. We have Sidney Powell confirming exactly what he was reporting there. Get this. I'm going to give you what Sidney has said. Powell told the Washington Examiner her access to Trump had been cut off since Friday when the president reportedly floated the idea of appointing her as special counsel to investigate voter fraud, an idea shot down by some of his advisors. Actually, it appears he actually did appoint her special counsel, where Cipollone said, you don't actually need me to do that. You can just do it directly. You can just tell her. And whereas he explained, they were saying she needed clearance. And Trump said, well, I can give her that clearance. I give her that clearance. I haven't met or spoken with the president since Friday night, Powell told the Examiner. The president knows this election was stolen, but he's not getting the support he, the Constitution, and the Republic deserve. His own people are misleading and undermining him while protecting their own careers and agenda, she added. I haven't spoken with the Director of National Intelligence on these issues at all. My efforts to educate Trump personal attorney Rudy Giuliani on demonstrable foreign interference in the election, including multiple CISA and FBI findings, have been met with irrational hostility. I've been blocked by White House counsel and others from seeing or speaking to the president since I raised the public formal findings and even more evidence of the foreign interference from Iran and China in this election. She, of course, became nationally recognized with her defense of former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Her profile has been raised since the election with several Kraken lawsuits alleging widespread voter fraud, which we have reported again and again and again. Now, Carl Rose, whom I have long distrusted, I am convinced, by the way, based upon my research on the death of Minnesota Senator Paul Wellstone, who went down in a plane crash that was no accident, that the decision to take out Paul Wellstone was made by a triumvirate of Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense, Dick Cheney, then Vice President, and Karl Rove, who is the inside advisor, that Wellstone was a conscience of the Senate. He was threatened by Dick Cheney that if he opposed them on Iraq, that there would be severe ramifications for him personally and for the state of Minnesota. What could be more severe than killing Paul Wellstone, his wife, his daughter, three of his aides, and the two pilots? They were taken out by creating an electromagnetic field that popped all the computerized elements aboard the plane, which had apparently been coated with magnesium or or even nanothermite paint because it burned intensely for 7 hours. They had to destroy all the evidence of any of those computer components that had been popped by the blast, by entering the electromagnetic field, had survived. They would have been able to prove what happened. We have a superintendent of schools who heard the plane popping sounds when it entered the electromagnetic field. He thought there were rifle shots being fired at the plane, but actually they were the components in the plane, including the mechanism that set the idle of the props, which also was destroyed, where after the forensic investigation, they couldn't explain why the propellers had been on below idle. Now, it turns out that Gateway Pundit has reported that Vice President Pence today could step in and throw out the state electoral college picks that are based on fraudulent results and ask the state legislatures to step in. Some experts believe Vice President Pence has a duty tomorrow to throw out Electoral College recommendations in the 2020 election that are based on fraud. This will then force those states to have their legislatures choose a set of delegates they believe will best represent the state's election results. That's absolutely in the Constitution. Here's Ivan E. Raiklin, a former Green Beret commander. Emergency. Will real Donald Trump pull out the Pence card tomorrow and pull off the biggest political upset in the history of humanity to save the Republic and the world? If Pence were to act tomorrow, then the election would no longer be confirmed by the governors and secretaries of state in selected swing states. It would be in the hands of the legislatures. From this point forward, it would be the hands of the legislatures. Well, we already know the legislatures have actually sent alternative slates of candidates, of electors from the legislatures. Rankin has studied the Constitution, found some fascinating information. He's reporting a peaceful and constitutionally lawful resolution to the situation we're in and at hand and may begin. He publishes yesterday, tomorrow, actually today. We know, of course, that Georgia Judiciary Committee has already voted, agrees there's enough information to decertify the vote for Joe Biden. We also know that the Arizona legislature may certify the vote for President Trump today or tomorrow. Now the question is whether the other states will be forced to do the same. Now, I've just published a piece by Stephen Francis, All Eyes on Pence, on January 6th at my blog at jamesfetzer.org. The National File was Mike Adams' source on his Pence-Raiklin maneuver. Nationalfile.com/report Trump infuriated by Pence not fighting hard enough for election integrity. TNF, the National File, offered this on Pence's possible actions today. The drafters of this White House memo believe the federal check to the state's elections resides with Vice President Mike Pence in his role as president of the Senate. Additionally, Pence has the sole power to determine whether to reject impermissible states of electors. However, Pence is legally required to do this on the fourth Wednesday in December, which this year falls on December 23rd, today. The revelation that Pence alone can reject allegedly fraudulent electoral college certificates shifts the spotlight from President Trump and congressional leaders significantly by putting President Trump's electoral destiny squarely on Pence's shoulders. Meanwhile, Senator Ron Johnson has tweeted about Senator Hawley from Missouri. After 4 years of being told the last election was fake, the same people are telling us, if you have any concerns about election integrity, you're a nutcase. Sit down and shut up. That is not a recipe for success in this country. Johnson, I believe, was actually quoting Hawley, making this observation. And what is more appropriate, what's more obvious, that the Democrats are scamming us after 4 years of telling us that the last election was fake and stolen. They're telling you if you have any concerns about this election, then you're a nutcase. Absolutely outrageous. Meanwhile, what heretofore would have been my original beginning story, breaking. Huge move to decertify the untrustworthy election in Georgia. The Georgia State Senate Committee recommends decertifying Georgia electors in the U.S. presidential election. The GOP-controlled Georgia State Senate released a report this morning on the massive election fraud that occurred in the state before, during, and after the poll on November 3rd in the U.S. general election. Their conclusions are damning. These are among them. The November 3rd, 2020 general election, hereafter the election, was chaotic, and any reported results must be viewed as untrustworthy. The subcommittee took evidence from witnesses and received affidavits sworn under oath. The subcommittee heard evidence that proper protocols were not used to ensure chain of custody of the ballots throughout the election, after the opening of ballots prior to the election, and during the recounts. The subcommittee heard testimony that was possible or even likely that large numbers of fraudulent ballots were introduced into the pool of ballots that were counted as voted. There's no way of tracing the ballots after they've been separated from the point of origin. The subcommittee heard testimony of pristine ballots whose origin looked suspicious, but which could not be verified, and the inability of poll workers to distinguish between test ballots and absentee ballots. Signatures were not consistently verified according to law in the absentee balloting process. Poll watchers on election night testified they had noted that ballots were not secured, that seals and security tags were not used, and the chain of custody was often lax or non-existent. During the recount process, the monitors observed similar patterns of unsecured ballots that had broken seals and open cases of ballots lying around for hours or overnight in unsecured locations. There was a lack of enforcement of the law, sloppy handling of the ballots by those counting, deliberate covering up of voting numbers by workers, lack of following the process during the recount, unsafe handling of military ballots, and insecure data, such as on laptops and flash drives. According to submitted testimony, there were also many equipment failures when ballots would not go through the machines, and other times when ballots were counted more than once. A great deal of testimony supported evidence of a coordinated effort to prevent a transparent process of observing the counting of ballots during the absentee ballot opening period on election night. Witnesses testified to hostility to Republican poll workers during the recount. Directional signage was unavailable. Doors were locked. Republican poll watchers were sent home early or given menial assignments. The November 3rd, they are determined that it should be corrected. Meanwhile, a further recount shows Trump won the county. County Medina called for Biden. This was in Michigan. President Trump has been sounding the alarm about the vote counts in a handful of states for almost 2 months. One of those was Antrim County, Michigan, where Joe Biden was in the lead on election night. Officials are now confirming the real winner of that race was actually Donald Trump. On Tuesday, November 3rd, poll workers said Biden was ahead of Trump by thousands of votes. That seems strange because it was expected to be a solidly red county. 2 days later, officials changed the vote count, and a tally showed the president ahead by 2,500 votes. Weeks later, on November 21st, Trump was winning by almost 4,000. On December 14th, a forensic audit of the county's Dominion voting machines found the president did indeed win. The auditor's report stated the system intentionally generates errors. Emerald Robinson, here's a tweet. Antrim County audit report. The allowable election error rate established by the Federal Election Commission guidelines is 1 in 250,000 ballots or 0.008%. We observed an error rate of 68.05%. This demonstrated a significant and fatal error in security and integrity. If this county had problems with its machines, how many others did too? Well, we know the answer to that. All of them. Meanwhile, we have other encouraging reports. Arizona lawmakers, enough evidence to decertify the election. President Trump's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, joined Steve Bannon's War Room Pandemic podcast this morning. During the interview, Giuliani said the Arizona legislature will attempt to pass a resolution tomorrow, Wednesday, that is today, to certify President Trump as a winner. News spread like wildfire yesterday that Arizona lawmakers would make the attempt to declare Trump the winner today. But Giuliani and the Arizona lawmakers didn't have the votes today to make it happen. He said he's hopeful Arizona lawmakers will be able to close the deal before Christmas. Here's another game changer. Wisconsin judge testifies over 200,000 votes were not valid. This is a tweet from Senator Ron Johnson. There's a lot more to the story of Wisconsin's 2020 election and recount. 3 million people in our state voted properly. But Judge Tropas testified that over 200,000 votes were not valid. That ought to be a very significant game changer in Wisconsin. Here's a story now. Before Sidney was blocked, something big, Sidney Powell spotted at the White House again. She's now been there 3 times in the past 5 days. That's more than Trump's own lawyers. Something big is definitely brewing. This may be part of it. Sidney Powell potentially signaling a different kind of military involvement. President Trump and Team Trump attorney Jenna Ellis have both indicated no plan to use the Insurrection Act and impose martial law to interview in the contested election. However, there are other routes to use, using military involvement that attorney Powell could be suggesting through her Telegram channel. She developed a powerful tool for communicating in an end around the corrupt corporate media, the new medium, the encrypted app Telegram. Very easy to use and effective, where the legacy media has lost all credibility and is dying. Here's part of what Powell has suggested, an attempt to interpret it. Powell has pinned to the top of the channel a post reporting she's being considered by POTUS to be special prosecutor to investigate election fraud. We now know that's true, that Friday he appointed her, but Mark Meadows and Paul Cipollone are attempting to defeat it. Second, Powell posts 2 stories on military involvement in domestic politics after the much-reported late-night meeting in the Oval Office Friday, where she attended with General Flynn and our civilian who gave us the report. One's an excerpt from a U.S. military doctrine publication on civil military operations. Military government is the supreme authority in military exercise by force or agreement over the land, property, and IPIs of domestic, allied, or enemy territory. When required to achieve national strategic objectives or protect national interests, the U.S. national leadership may decide to intervene militarily. U.S. forces in support of government stabilization are a prospect. We'll be right back after this break.
On Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And we'll be right back after this message.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
The body's filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not. The heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run. But your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger, unafraid, right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. 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 Radio!
¿Cómo va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm delighted to report that my featured guest for today has now been able to join us, and we have known each other for quite a long time. He's done brilliant work on 9/11, on JFK, particularly in terms of photographic analysis. He has presented by far the most brilliant critique of how we know no plane hit the Pentagon, which members of Architects and Engineers are still attempting to debunk by supporting the official narrative. That shows how far Architects and Engineers have wandered off the reservation, except that they were always created as a limited hangout in order to keep the public from discovering the truth about 9/11. He was a top electronics troubleshooter for the Navy before he resigned and went to work for Raytheon. Longtime ally, brilliant guy, Dennis Camino. Welcome to The Raw Deal.
I don't really know what to say after that that introduction there, but it's been a long time. It really has.
It has, Dennis, much too long. Now, you missed the very first part where I played an interview with a fellow who was there on Friday night in the Oval Office with Sidney Powell and Michael Flynn, where the president was appointing Sidney Powell a special prosecutor to investigate election fraud, which was adamantly opposed by Mark Meadows as chief of staff and this fellow, Pat Cipollone, who turns out to be a general counsel, but a traitor to the United States. And I am inclined to believe that they need to be arrested. Sidney's been trying to make contact with the president, and Mark Meadows is cutting her off. She contacted him and said now that she's special counsel, which Trump went ahead and did anyway after Cipollone said, you don't actually need me in order to do that. You can just make her special counsel by declaration, and which he did. And then when they insisted she didn't have the proper clearance, that it would take months, he said, well, I can grant clearance, and I hereby grant the clearance. It seems to me these guys need to be taken out of the loop. They're committing blatant treason of a caliber never before seen. They're obviously absolutely dedicated to keeping Trump from, you know, establishing his credentials for re-election, which are massive and overwhelming. I do not know how closely you have been following the disputed election results, Dennis, but we have Georgia is recertifying, Arizona is recertifying, seven of the states have sent alternative slates of electors, and it appears that the Vice President Pence actually has the opportunity today as the president of the United States Senate to reject those that were set by the governors and the secretaries of state based upon the fraudulent election. Today, he could do that. Now, knowing you as I do, I expect profound skepticism, but I'd be eager for even a hint that something positive might come of this.
Well, I wish I could weigh in on the positive column. I'm not really convinced that any good is going to come from any of this. I think after I had a chance to look at what was going on with the way the election turned out versus what the polling showed, I have a tendency to believe that the polling was right. In other words, that the polling was correct, but there was monkey business being done by both sides. In other words, it wasn't just one sided or the other. And that's why the Senate managed to remain Republican. I think if you would have been following the numbers relative to just before the election, it was looking like at the bare minimum, it was going to be a pretty close tie. These Loeffler and this other Purdue both, kind of squeaked out because of something going on in the backfield there in Georgia. But I don't really see a good outcome, whichever way this swings, whether it goes one way or the other. I think this is going to cause significant strife in the United States, if not probably unrest across the board. That's kind of how I see it.
Well, Dennis, I must say that seems to me to not reflect a lot of familiarity with a massive proof of electoral fraud. It was overwhelming, just as they rigged it in 2016 for Hillary, but didn't do enough. We had all kinds of phony polls showing she had like a 98% chance of re-election, that Trump voters might as well stay home. They didn't anticipate the overwhelming surge. Hillary, undoubtedly, with Barack Obama, John Brennan, were among the brains behind the theft of this election, which was undertaken on an even more massive scale. They were using Dominion voting machines in 30 states, including all the swing states. And Dominion not only have the ability to switch votes, in this case, from Biden to Trump, we do not know of a single, from Trump to Biden, we do not know of a single instance where a Biden vote was switched to Trump to simply delete ballots, to print. It's got a printer as a part of the Dominion voting system so they can manufacture their own ballots. I've been reporting on this virtually every single day. In fact, when you go into the coronavirus, every single day since May at the very least, and I guarantee you that Trump actually had won by around 50 million votes, Dennis. How you can possibly imagine Joe Biden could get 80 million votes when Barack Obama only got like 61, when Barack Obama won like 800 counties, when Donald Trump won over 2,500 counties, when Biden only won a couple of hundred counties, when he couldn't get 10 people to turn out for a rally. Honestly, Dennis, I think you've missed the memo on all of the voter fraud. It's massive. It's detailed. It's overwhelming. Giuliani and Jenna Ellis have over 1,000 affidavits about voting fraud taking place. We have video from closed circuit TV in Georgia where you can see the head of the election running everyone out, claiming they were shutting down until 8 a.m., but four of them remain behind. They were pulling suitcases full of ballots out from under tables, running them through the tabulators again and again and again. We have video of young black men. These were actually Antifa and Black Lives Matter that were brought in to count the vote, holding up Trump ballots to the camera and then tearing them apart, throwing them behind again and again and again. Dennis, there was no attempt to steal the election on the Republican side, and the turnout was even more massive than before, which is why they had to stop the count at about 3 a.m. in the morning in some states. And then, of course, given the time zones, it was earlier as we moved from east to west in order to adjust the count to give Biden a 400,000 extra bump to get him ahead. And then they adjusted the tabulators so that thereafter, all the votes that were counted would give Biden just an edge, like 50.5% to 49.5% for Trump. So the question of the evidence of the theft, however unfamiliar it may be to you personally, is blatant and overwhelming. I published dozens of articles about it and done probably 100 different shows reporting about it, Dennis.
Well, the take I have on the election is if for months before it took place, there was sowing the seeds of distrust. And I have never trusted U.S. elections for a number of years, so I'm going to get that right on the plate right now, so everybody understands that I couldn't sprinkle holy water on them under any circumstances. But time after time after time, when they interviewed Trump and asked him point blank, you know, if you lose the election, are you going to vacate office? And unequivocally, he came back and said, I'm not going anywhere. You know, I'm going to camp out in the White House no matter what happens, because I'm going to win. And I'm kind of sanguine about this election in many ways. In other words, I don't see a victory for the American public, whichever way it were to shake out. As a matter of fact, I've talked about this before, about the shit sandwich and hold the bread analogy. And I don't really see any victory for the American people. I'm not particularly enthused about a Biden and Harris White House for a number of reasons. She's a staunch supporter of the prison industrial complex. Joe Biden himself has been the author of many, many the co-sponsor of things that criminalized people beyond all belief for drug use that should have been decriminalized years ago. It's fraudulent, should never happen. But going back to the whole history of this election, they for months before it actually took place, they sowed so much doubt in the minds of the American public, the sheeple out there that actually think their votes count. To the point where, people I talked to, I said, do you really feel that anything good is going to come of this, whichever way it shakes out? And a lot of the people I talked to that hadn't drunk the Kool-Aid for the Democrat Party and definitely weren't Trump supporters, their attitude was, I don't see anything good coming from this. So a lot of the people I personally was in contact with either sat out the election and didn't vote at all because they didn't see a viable choice between the two of these people. And then the secondary issue is that the United States has been in economic collapse for a significant number of years. It never really recovered from the 2008-2009 crash. We're in an economic decline that can't be reversed. They haven't ceased doing the gun-grabbing hoaxes. They've actually held a couple of those in the pandemic. They just did one not too very long ago that clearly it was a staged event. It didn't occur on the day that they said it did, because a lot of the things didn't compute. The if you looked at the physics, the actual weather and it was basically like Sandy Hook, where it was supposed to have been on a moderately cold day, but there was no frost being blown from faces. So it was clear that it was one of those things they stuffed in a can and aired later when they could spring it. So the United States has been poised for a significant crash. The pandemic just kind of pushed us over the lip of the toilet bowl, so to speak. And we're in deep kimchi here. We're not going to recover. The airline industry is basically destroyed. Air travel can't possibly resume in any way, make, or form in a meaningful way until they redesign aircraft to get pathogens filtration and sterilization incorporated into the airstream, so it takes the cooties out of the air that gets recycled over and over again. So we can scratch off the airlines. The next shoe that's going to fall is when the massive numbers of truckers get COVID and get sick and drop out of the, Dennis, the delivery thing. We've got 100 million people out of work, basically, that don't have jobs right now or trying to scramble to get a job. I don't see the United States recovering from this COVID thing, no matter how many vaccines they pull out of their anuses and stick in people's arms. It's not going to fix anything.
Dennis, I'm very troubled. You don't understand that this COVID thing is a gigantic scam, that they've never even isolated a COVID-19, that everyone has residual COVID RNA, and because they've had a cold, that even the World Health Organization has admitted that the positive test only means you had a cold in the past. I'm very troubled that you may have allowed yourself to be played on some major issues here.
Well, I personally got it back in the end of January on the 24th, and was, I wasn't deathly sick, but I'd been pre-exposed to the SARS coronavirus in 2009 and had a real bad run-in with that. And I had IgG and IgM antibodies in my system already to fight this one. So I didn't end up going to the hospital, but I had COVID, and I'm not saying it's not a scam. In other words, I think that, they'll use any device, any tool at their disposal to further destroy the economy and bring it down even harder. So I'm not doubting what you're saying about the scam aspect of the coronavirus pandemic. I think that yes, people are going to get sick and some are dying from it, but I have a hard time looking at the numbers and then seeing the way the economy seems to be operating in general in certain factions that really should be crippled by it if it was really as bad as we're purported to believe it is. So I'm not sitting on the fence. I'm just saying that it's being used. It's being utilized as a device to bring the United States to its knees and cripple it. And I don't know why the powers that be wanted to destroy the United States economy. It was already in the toilet before the coronavirus became a declared issue. So we're in a position now where, whether it's coronavirus or cornholia virus or whatever the hell they want to call it, whatever excuse is going to be the next one and the next one. And believe me, there's going to be more. There's going to be other reasons why the economy is not going to have a recovery and why people aren't going to go back to work. So you can't say that I'm not following it. I'm just saying that I don't trust anything that comes from either side of the media. I don't believe that any of the Trump people are real, and I don't believe the Democrats are real. I think the whole thing is a kabuki theater thing to get everybody's eyes off the economic collapse that they staged. They put this in motion. They're trying to destroy the United States, and they're using it as a vehicle to do it. That's what's going on.
Are you familiar with the name of Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset?
I've seen some mention of him. I haven't really done in-depth research about him, but I know who he is. And I've been looking at it.
David Icke was revealing right off the bat. He's been one of the most discerning and dissecting the whole coronavirus fraud, that the idea was to destroy the middle class and small businesses, to deprive Americans of the ability to make money, so we'd all be dependent upon the state, these coronavirus checks and all that are part of the movement where the Great Reset is using the coronavirus to try to move to take possession of the entire planet Earth. It's that ambitious, Dennis. They want to offer the proposition.
Oh, of course. It's not just the United States. It's a global issue. It doesn't just impact us here in the continental United States. It's been destroying the economies of virtually every, what I would consider to be a moderately, thriving economies across the globe. The Earth we're in a financial crunch that once this whole machine finally grinds to a screeching halt globally, the only thing I see on the horizon then is that. Because everybody will be denied, as you say, the ability to go earn a paycheck, then you'll have no choice whatsoever but to be dependent on some kind of a government stipend to keep your head above water. Right now, I'm sitting in a city, and I'm in Portland, Oregon, where virtually every 150 meters on any street or on any side of the freeway, there's tens of probably tens of thousands of human beings. People that probably 6-7 months ago, before everything started to really unravel, actually were probably living in apartments. But the homeless situation in this country is at a point now where if they did not extend this moratorium, which they have until the end of June, virtually everybody would be sitting on their sidewalk or on the curb wondering what's next, because people that had good paying jobs can't usually do the same thing that they were doing before. And and we don't have the social safety net in the United States to weather a storm, even a 5-year one. The last major disruption was in 2008, 2009, and that collapsed. And the United States had to bolster everybody's income by paying unemployment benefits for a little over 2 years. So we're in a boat now where everybody, not just in the United States, but globally, trade is collapsing. Air travel, as you knew it, as everybody used to know it, it's never going to be able to resume again. There's airline pilots that are out there, pushing shopping carts at grocery stores, trying to make ends meet. There's planes that are parked all over this planet that are probably not going to go anywhere for a very long time, because there's virtually no passenger load, and there won't be one until one or two things happen. Everybody finally gets a clue that it's a hoax and realizes that it's a joke, which it could be, or at some point enough people have died that a lot of the vestiges of what's left of industry in the United States and globally collapses totally, to the point where virtually everyone is on their butt with no income. So we're looking at a very, very dire situation, and I have no doubt in my ex-military mind that whoever did the planning for this at the Central Intelligence Agency in the Rothschild Mansion in London that probably kicked this thing off, that their intent was to cripple and to decimate not just the middle class, but everybody except the extreme 1% on the planet that don't really care whether they have a job, because they hold 90% of the wealth in their hands, and they don't care whether they ever get another penny from income, because they've been trying to do an event across the board that would, by hook or by crook, one way or the other, whether it's starvation, destitution, what you want to call it, they wanted to get the population of the entire planet reduced by several billion people. And they're, per my estimation, that if we remain on this trajectory, the economic devastation that will follow will be so total and thorough that there will be no possibility of any kind of recovery in the next decade, if not 20 years. So we're really in a dark time with no light at the end of any tunnel. And I don't care whether coronavirus is a hoax or it's not a hoax or whatever it is, it's being utilized and being exploited is another additional technique to further bring the people on this planet to their very knees and cripple everyone. And I concur with that assessment. I'm 100% on board with that.
Dennis, how closely did you follow this election? Did you pay attention to the primaries, the caucuses, who dropped out when? Do you know anything about Joe Biden as a candidate for the presidency in the past, or Kamala Harris? as a candidate?
Oh, I stated that I know exactly who they are, and I told you almost a year ago that if they were on the ticket, that the only thing that could possibly make them popular is that the Dinocrats, they had to stir up enough hate that I'm not saying that they're the only party that does it, because the Republicans are sick puppies just like the goddamn Dinocrats are, but let's be real about this thing. They could have run a pastrami sandwich against Trump and probably got a lot of votes. So population doesn't like him. I don't like him. But he destroyed the airline I worked for a number of years ago, if you've forgotten that, and rendered it useless because he and Frank Lorenzo decided to take Eastern Airlines down the toilet. But I saw that there was not. I even projected that if Biden and Harris were put in the White House, that they'd basically effectively be lame ducks because they could never get the Senate majority they need to actually pass any legislation. So in some sick way, if you allow me to even elucidate a little bit further here, in some sick way, the Dinocrats got played and tooled and used like a dull chisel, stupidly marched to the ballot box to cast a ballot for somebody that is not their friend, is not a progressive, has no meaningful credentials other than the fact that as he's been portrayed, which is pretty true, he's been in the machine for more than 45 years. He's he's deeply embedded with all the moneyed interest in this country that don't and operate anything. So he was no bargain. But by far and by large, Trump was in all practical purposes, Trump was nothing but Barry Sotoro number two installed in the breach, and he didn't do us any favors. But the country was being steered down the toilet for a very long time. And I'm going to make a bold statement: it's irrelevant whether Trump remains in the White House or Biden stays in there, or Howdy Doody gets anointed and gets plugged in there, because nothing is going to save the United States of America, no matter how many MAGA hats you put on the top of your noggin, it is not going to be saved. We're done. We're over.
I really appreciate you joining us for this segment of the show. I know how busy you are. You're on the road and all that. Thanks for the update from Portland. I really appreciate hearing from you. Meanwhile, anyone who'd like to call in with questions, I'm going to continue to report on Sidney Powell being denied access to the White House. You all know the number, 540-352-4452. Much appreciation to Dennis Camino for joining us for this segment of the show. Call in 540-352-4452. See you at the other side of the break.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people.
The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, to describe that report from Dennis Camino as disappointing would put it mildly. He and I had a bit of a falling out about a year ago, and now that I think about it, I believe it was over his trashing Trump and my believing Trump is actually a good guy who cares about the country. So I found this a bit disappointing, to put it mildly. I'm glad Paul's here. We can kick it around. Meanwhile, we have this issue about Pence's role today, but a further development I want to throw into the pot before I bring in Paul. Representative-elect Marjorie Taylor Greene, a Republican from Georgia, has said some Republican senators will join in an effort to challenge the Electoral College vote when the joint session of Congress meets on January 6th. The process requires one senator and one House member to initiate. Other than Taylor Greene, Representative Mo Brooks, Republican of Alabama, and a number of GOP House lawmakers have pledged they would challenge the vote. We have a very strong case, and our numbers are growing stronger. We talked to senators, and we're good to go for this objection. Taylor Greene did not say what senators would join, but Senators Ron Paul of Kentucky and Senator-elect Tommy Tuberville of Alabama have both suggested they might get involved. There's been no public confirmation. When an objection is filed during a joint session of Congress for key states casting electoral college votes for Joe Biden, Each chamber must hold a debate for 2 hours on whether to disqualify a state's votes. Then a vote would be have to be held in each chamber on whether to throw them out. Taylor Greene, meanwhile, added she spoke with President Trump about possibly challenging the vote, saying, "I didn't run for Congress to sit by and be quiet, so I called the president. I say, good for her. I support him. I voted for him. Just like everyone else, I'm happy to support him in this trying time." Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who is turning out to be now on my shit list, has reportedly told GOP senators not to partake in the challenge, while the number two Republican in the Senate, Senator John Thune of South Dakota, told reporters it's likely to fail. "I don't like that. I believe in the Constitution. The evidence for fraud in this election is massive and overwhelming." So people like Mitch McConnell and God knows this Mark Meadows and Pat Cipollone really deserve to be arrested and put on trial for treason. My take. Paul, I'm glad you're here. You're a good voice to arbitrate some of this stuff. I'm just very disappointed in Dennis. If I pressed it, I'll bet he didn't even vote.
Dennis, up against the wall. Stay tuned now for some very well-known and highly relevant special effects.
You're playing something, Paul?
Yes. Thought I'd bring up a little bit from the past, if you recognize that.
I did it, Paul. So fill us in. Tell us.
Oh, it didn't come through very well?
No, that's okay. Don't repeat it. Just tell us what you had in mind here.
Oh, no. Well, that was the clip that I used to play multiple times from the Rifleman, Chuck Connors.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I played it on this show. You know, here's what my reaction was. You know, I know Dennis is not here, but I was just going to say, Dennis, what happened? Do you not have the internet? Do your fingers not know how to do the walking on the keyboard? I mean, did he really say, "Well, I'm not particularly enthused about a Biden-Harris presidency"? Really?
Yeah.
That's the best you can muster? He said that. "I'm not particularly enthused." What? And he said, "I got COVID? What?" So this is for any and all of you idiots out there who actually think there's such a thing as COVID, okay? There is not. It's nothing. It's just a psychological operation on all of us. I mean, even people that should know better, such as the other day on Stormfront, David Duke was going over all these numbers, right? And he says, you know, he's using the CDC's own numbers as if they mean anything anyway, because I don't give a damn what the CDC says anymore about anything. But according to him, 80 to 90% of people that test positive don't have symptoms. And then he's still talking about the virus as if it's relevant. Good God, what does it take for the average moron to realize that if you die with 10 toes, doesn't mean that the 10 toes caused your death? Right? I mean, 100%. Think about how stupid it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Jim?
Very, very good. Very good. Very good.
God's sake. Yeah. I mean, it's like it's an IQ test from the very start. Okay. Viruses are endogenous to the body. That's what they say. There, as Sophia Smallstorm so brilliantly said, there's really no such thing as exogenous virus. Okay. They don't hang around on surfaces. Right? They don't somehow survive and wait to infect people because they're not living to begin with. They're particles. And she said the same thing that many people have said, including all the way back to Raymond Rife, that many of these things inside our body are pleomorphic. Okay? Our body makes everything that we need to be healthy, including viruses. This whole thing is the biggest scam in the world, and how anybody could think that viruses are causing illness or that there's such a thing as COVID is beyond me if they have the internet and they have a brain. So,
Paul,
damn, Dennis, thank you. All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm ranting.
No. Hey, Paul, you have no idea how much I appreciate this. I mean, this really is a smart guy, but he somehow lost his way. I mean, I'm just stunned by this development. I mean, really, I would have liked for you to have set him straight, but I just couldn't bear it. I mean, you know, it was too...
Well, he's a friend of yours.
Go ahead.
He's a friend of yours. I get it. You know, I can be hard on somebody that I don't know much more so than somebody that I do, so that's normal. But, yeah, and the thing is, I have a fond spot for Dennis. You may not remember, but he was your guest on the very first show I called. In other words, my inaugural call to your show, which was either 2016 or 2017, Dennis was the guest, and you were talking about the so-called Russian hoax bullshit and how, you know, what was the likelihood that there'd be a confrontation or even a small war with Russia. And I called in and basically said, no, there's not going to be any war with Russia. There's nothing to this. And I laid out my reasons. And when I was done, Dennis actually complimented me, gave me one of the best compliments I've ever had. And he said that was probably the best call, the best rap on any radio call that I've ever heard. You know. And then you, after Dennis said that, you said to me, you go, well, very successful, Paul. And then you took the next call. That was my first call to your show, Jim, was Dennis.
Nice. God damn. You know, now I wish I'd held Dennis over so you could have had that discussion with him, because, I mean, I was just so appalled. Look, here I am in the belief now that we have sufficient evidence to arrest Mark Meadows and Pat Cipriani, even a citizen's arrest for treason, that they're defying the president's orders, that we have testimony from the CEO who was there with Sidney, with Michael Flynn. And now we have Sidney reporting to the Washington Examiner how she's being cut off from Trump. This is absolutely crucial, Paul. And for Dennis to downplay what Trump did for the economy, I found that equally distressing. For God's sake, he gave us the strongest, most surging economy in the history of the United States, which was actually doing what has been claimed for trickle-down economics, but was false in the past, raising all boats. So that we actually had the lowest earning wage earners having their wages rising at the fastest rate, part and parcel why Trump won, by a 50 million vote margin. And for Dennis to be oblivious of that, just in my opinion, disqualifies him as a serious source in this matter. Even though you heard me extolling his virtues, I don't know what to say. He just seems to have lost it about politics as much as he's lost it about the coronavirus.
Right. Well, you know what I would say generally? I mean, you know how I've made my feelings clear about Trump before, and I'm definitely much further along than, people like Dennis. But, you know, it's just a matter of some people think he hasn't done enough. I know, I'm going to admit he has done positive things. There's no doubt about it. And I made the point the other night in the grocery store to some woman about, well, he hasn't started any wars in the Middle East. You give him that at least. And, you know, she agreed with that. And, you know, so there's a number of positive things. But at this point, though, excuse me, at this point, I think the most important thing is for this thing to come out in Trump's favor only because that's the right thing to do. In other words, there's right and there's wrong, there's fraud and there's honesty, and no matter who Trump is or is not, we're at the point now where the majority of American people, I believe, I don't believe the surveys that say 50%, I think it's much higher, are actually fairly convinced there's fraud. I don't know anybody that I've talked to that doesn't think and know and believe that there was ridiculous amounts of fraud and it was patently obvious. And so we got problems going on in this country, and so it's got to get straightened out. I don't think it's going to happen without some sort of violence or bloodshed. And in many cases, it might be, the right thing, the right direction to go. I mean, everybody's tired of it. It just reminds me of, like, times back in my youth, like in school days where, you know, you're avoiding a fight. You're avoiding a confrontation. There's maybe somebody that's got it in for you, and you just keep putting it off because you don't really want to do it. And if I had to live my life over again, I can think of multiple occasions where I wouldn't have put it off, not for a minute. Let's do it. Let's get it done now. And that's the attitude Trump's got to take because I think he knows probably better than anybody the position he's in. But I think he also knows better than anybody the amount of support he has. I mean, he's got the support of the vast majority of real Americans, and they would go to bat for him and they would pick up weapons for him. And I think that's what it's got to come to. All these people, got to be arrested, prosecuted, or shot, in my opinion. All these Democrats, all these governors, all these corrupt media heads, they all have to be taken to task. Otherwise, we're just going to have the continual domination and ruination. How do you like that? Ruination of our country.
Yeah. Now, I almost wish I had kept him on for you to have that exchange. Should I bring him back, Paul, so you can say these things to Dennis?
I don't care.
I'm really astonished. Mitchell, can you see if you can get Dennis back on? I think what Paul said really should be said directly to Dennis, and we can see if we can get him back in here. But, you know, Trump has also spoken out against the stimulus relief bill because it's chicken feed. It's giving all this money to powerful interests, and $600 for the American people isn't going to make a bit of difference whatsoever. He's asking for $2,000, but again, I say the whole plan was to destroy the economy so we'd be dependent upon the state for an income, for housing. They're going to, you know, part of the Great Reset is they're going to pay off our mortgages, our credit cards, and our student loans in return for our surrendering all of our property and assets. And
please leave your message for.
Have we got Dennis or no? You called him, but he wouldn't take it. Well, okay.
No worries.
Go ahead, Paul.
So I would just say this. It's obvious when you think about this, okay, that this 5,000 pages, allegedly, of course, I haven't seen it, I haven't read it, nor would I, but just imagine how long it would take to put together 5,000 pages. So how long has they been working on this, and who exactly did it? And it just boggles the mind of how they don't give a damn about what we think, and they believe that we're the most ridiculously stupid and gullible people in the world, and they're mostly right. I mean, ask yourself this question. I posed this to somebody the other night because they were asking me, somebody that I know, my opinion of what all this stimulus stuff was. I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, do you really think that we need to give Cambodia, you know, so many $1 billion, and Guatemala, so many $1 billion, and all these different countries and all these different weird causes, you know, all this money. I said, what do you think's going on there? And they kind of shrugged their shoulders. I said, well, I guarantee what's going on is there's going to be a bunch of Jews getting kickbacks and getting rich behind the scenes. I mean, you know, they're in contact with these other world leaders, and they're just telling them, okay, we're going to arrange for you. You're going to get $25 billion, but you know what? You got to kick us back like $2.5 billion. I mean, this is why this shit takes place, and this is why you can never allow Jews in your country to run your money, to run your government, to run your media, to do anything else. And that's what they're doing. They're running the show. We're just watching.
Yeah. Here's another, by the way, confirmation. Mitchell was asking traitors in the White House, the most volatile Oval Office meeting in 200 years, Overstock guy speaks out. This is the guy who was the CEO of Overstock, whose report I was playing at the start of the show. For you to fully understand who exactly Donald Trump is and the traitors who are swimming around him like sharks, like snakes up to his waist, this podcast will show you what he's up against and why this simple fix is taking so long to rid the nation of Joe Biden and the deep state. A most volatile meeting like this in the Oval Office has probably not happened in over 200 years. Share this like crazy to make people aware of what's really going on and why the president must act quickly if the union is to be saved from communism. I agree with that. I think that's got it right. And, you know,
well, Paul, did you...
We're in such dire straits, you know, for Dennis to come on and say, you know, it doesn't make any difference who's president and that kind of shit, honest to God, to me, that is so far out of touch with reality that I just couldn't bear to have him on any longer. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And yet you can see how positively I feel about him in general. This is just awful.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's one of those things where you find out, you know, this kind of stuff. You just find out where, like, friends and family stand. And that's the thing that makes me so upset about all of this, is it's dividing people. I mean, literally, we're being divided, you know, by the mask. We're going to be divided by the vaccine. We're divided by this ridiculous left-right Democrat-Republican paradigm. This is exactly what they do and what they've been doing for a very long time. They get inside of your mind. They get inside the body politic of a nation, and they infest you with their disease. We could have a wonderful, prosperous, mostly harmonious country if we were just allowed to run it ourselves by the majority of honorable people that exist. And the thing that I've made clear on this call before, on other calls to your show, is I am not an all hate or all love kind of person when it comes to somebody like Trump. I believe, like anybody, he's a spectrum, okay? He's a pie with slices. And I think, and this is my opinion only, that he's got a big slice of honorable and a big slice of decency and a big slice of actually caring about America and the American people. He's got other slices with people don't like, and I've made that point myself. But I actually do believe that there's parts of him that are decent, honorable, and he knows what's up, and he doesn't like it. And the American people appreciate that about him. I don't think that he's anywhere near as sleazy as all these other people, like Biden, like Obama, like John McCain, like John Kerry, like George Bush Jr. These are all sleazy people, or the slickster, Slick Willie. Good God, all these people had sleaze written all over them. But I don't think that Trump really does. Okay, he has a past, no doubt about it. But I actually believe that he is probably the most honorable of all those people I just mentioned. Surprise it came out of my mouth, Jim?
Yeah, that's all good. That's all good. That's all good, Paul. That seems to me totally reasonable. I don't have a problem with that.
And as I said the other day, too, that it's hard. It's a hard, it's what I would call a hard yardstick to expect Trump to be as awake on many things, such as I or you or Giuseppe or Scorpio or Mitch. You know, or Michael Ivey, to name all these people, that we have a certain amount of awakening that's taken place because we've gone down that path. And, you know, I give people like Trump the benefit of the doubt because he maybe has not gone that path much at all. You know, he's mostly been, you know, about business, right? About his own, television. I mean, he had a television career, let's face it, right? His family's, and then he's got some ego, and that's fine with me. So, you know, we'll see what happens. It's going to be very interesting times ahead. But in my opinion, Trump has to have, he's got to be strong, stronger than he's ever been in his life. He's got to have the will to power. If he wants to do it for us and not for his ego, then he's got to have the will to power, and he's got to call people that are going to come to his aid. And if it was me, if I was running the show, I would, as soon as possible, get elements of the military and just start arresting the top heads of all the networks. I would actually shut down all the major networks for at least 30 days. And let's see what the hell happens. I mean, why not? Let's stir some trouble up, because they hate us anyway. Okay. That's why in my personal life, when I've dealt with people, as soon as somebody starts talking to me like I'm a racist or I'm a Nazi, I just say, yeah, you're right. I acknowledge it. Let's get it over with. Let's move forward now. And to be honest, most of the time it's worked. Most of the time, it takes the steam right out of them when they start calling you names and say, yeah, you're right, I'm a racist.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's just like, it's done. Get it over with. So they're gonna call him names no matter what. They're gonna hate him no matter what. They're gonna think he's an illegitimate president no matter what. Okay. Let's kick some ass. That's what the American people want. They want to kick some ass. They're tired of this shit.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I agree. I agree. See, I, what I think it may take is for hundreds of thousands of armed Americans to go to Washington, D.C. to protect the president. This is where I'm gravitating. And Paul, I mean, look, the risk of violence is going to be high. But we cannot sit passively by and allow this nation to be stolen lock, stock, and barrel by socialist idealists who want a massive redistribution of wealth and to base everything on identity politics, where black and brown people are getting the COVID vaccine before whites because they're supposed to have been disadvantaged in the past, even though I think there's this irony because, in my opinion, the vaccine is going to do tremendous harm. So while they think they're benefiting black and brown people in harming white, I think the actual outcome is going to be very, very different. And I have no doubt that if, say, 100,000 armed, Trump supporters go to Washington, D.C., Antifa, Black Lives Matter are going to provoke some violence, I just don't see a way around it. I do not see a way around it. When you have the chief of staff and the general counsel to the president betraying him, when he makes an appointment of Sidney Powell as a special counsel for election fraud, and they oppose it, and he goes ahead anyway, and then they say she doesn't have the clearance, and he grants her the clearance. And then when she seeks to follow up by making contact with Meadows for an office and an access pass, he denies her. He says, no, no, I don't think we can do that. No, no, I don't think we can do that. This Mark Meadows, this Pat Cipollone are traitors to the United States, and it's blatant, and we have multiple witnesses. They need to be subjected to a citizen's arrest. Mark Meadows and Pat Cipollone need to be arrested by citizens for treason. My take, Paul, yours.
Well, I don't know if you saw the text I sent you at the beginning of the show when you were reading this. And by the way, you did a great job. You read this story and you know, broadcast it like you were, like a news anchor. You know, it was one of your better performances. And I sent you that text with just, three letters, W-O-W, wow, you know, with an exclamation mark. I mean, most of the political stuff you get into, you know, I'm not that interested in, some of the soap opera, but this was, like you said, this was pretty astounding news. And I think that if the majority of American people knew this kind of stuff was going on, they would be pretty pissed about it.
I think so too, Paul, and that it may be up to us, the people, to save the nation. It would not be the first time in our history. It was we, the people, who created the nation. And we know from the Declaration of Independence, we have the right to take up arms in opposition to tyranny. What you have with Biden and Harris, even though it's a fake Biden, is massive tyranny confronting a takeover of the nation to reduce us to economic rubble. We'll be right back after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour.
You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Here's another report from DommyGood.com. The Friday night Oval Office meeting was even more explosive than we thought. General Flynn saved the day. Overstock founder Patrick Byrne, whose report we played at the start of the show, went on Undercover DC Monday to further discuss the explosive meeting at the White House Friday night. During the interview, he described how Michael Flynn took control and confronted the naysayers on President Trump's advisory team, meaning the chief of staff, the general counsel, and a couple of their patsies. According to Byrne, General Flynn stood on his feet in a calm, measured, and professional manner and gentlemanly asked them, "Do you think the president won? Can you say that you think the president won?" Not a single would answer the question. Byrne further states he told Trump that within 30 minutes he could lose three people who would confirm his own leadership has been trying to convince others to get him to concede. Flynn was the man of the hour. It was a pivotal moment in American history. Democrats must not get away with stealing the largest landslide of a sitting president in U.S. history. Paul, they're just being so blatant about it. They're being so blatant about it. I mean, it's just outrageous beyond belief.
Yeah, they're poking us in the chest with their finger, you know, basically saying, "What are you going to do?" I mean, that's been my take for a long time. And I mean, this is serious stuff going on everywhere. I'm looking at a little video article right now on a website where, you know, they're stopping lorry drivers. Okay, that's what's that British call the trucks, lorries. Between France and England, if you don't test negative for COVID. In other words, you have to have a negative test to drive your truck. Otherwise, they're not going to let you. And there's a big demonstration about it. A whole bunch of cops there, and there's a bunch of
you know, truck drivers and dock workers, and, you know, they're pushing it. They're trying to cause unrest. It's obvious. I mean, they're letting people out of jail because of COVID, right? They're telling us we can't go to work because of COVID, or you can't open your business because of COVID. They're doing everything they can to provoke us. And I think they're also testing and they're gauging our response. You know, so we have to do something. I think we have to do things that are somewhat intelligent. But the bottom line is, if we don't take the field, okay, they're going to win the game, whether it's a football game or an actual battle, okay? We got to take the field. And, you know, it's a possibility you could get hurt and worse. But the bottom line is, if we don't take the field and make moves, you know, we've already lost. It's automatic.
Paul, this is a part of your observation, I think. U.S. COVID-19 relief package causes $500 million for Israel to trend online. Why in God's name are we giving money to Israel, for God's sake, which has been opposing the United States, wants to drain us, treats us as the golden calf, in the words of Bibi Netanyahu's declared, we're going to suck it dry and turn it into the largest welfare state in the world and let it die slowly, because that's what we do with nations we hate. Why should we be giving any money to Israel, for God's sake? They own the media. They own Hollywood. They're running point on the attempt to destroy democracy and deprive the duly elected president of a second term. This is just outrageous.
Well, you know, everybody gets their cut. You know, a buddy of mine is in the was in the mortgage business for quite a while in real estate. And, you know, he was just showing me all these fees that, I mean, everybody gets taken care of. Anytime there's money transferred, money loaned, you can be sure that there's always people right there ready to take their cut, getting paid for something they didn't really earn. This is the way that the show has been run for quite a while now. And the average, quote, American worker, or the average worker in the world who does, you know, all the things necessary to make society, you know, livable, they get a wage, okay? And they don't ever get a cut. In fact, they're expected to pay up when the bill is presented. So, again, you know what we need. I'll take a partial victory over a full victory, but we need, in my opinion, a complete revamping of this country and this society and this political structure. And that's nothing new. And hopefully other people call in. I'm wondering where the regular callers all are sometimes. You know, like, hey, Brew, are you listening? Call in.
It's an incredibly busy week, of course, I mean, with Christmas coming up. But, you know, now, really, I do rather wish I had kept Dennis on. It was just so distressing to me to hear this bullshit, complete bullshit. No contact whatsoever with the realities of the election or the dimensions of the theft. And his denigrating remarks, I mean, there are too many people who take that kind of attitude. You know, they think it's super sophisticated, but it's not sophisticated at all, in my opinion. It's just bullshit.
Well, I don't hold, you know, I don't hold it against him with his thoughts about, you know, the difference that elections may or may not make. Right. I mean, I completely understand that and his confidence in the honesty of elections. I don't take any issue with that. And of course, you know, he's talking about the economy and he's right to do so. The thing that's frustrating to me is if you really know and understand the money situation the way I do, and there's very few people that have called in that I think know it as well as I've got a very long history going back to the 1980s when I first was introduced to this idea of fractional reserve banking by G. Edward Griffin. You know, I went to a conference, and this is well before he wrote his book, Creature from Jekyll Island. And I have so much under my belt so far, Money Manipulation and Social Order by Dennis Fahey, The Money Creators by Gertrude Coogan, Secrets of the Federal Reserve by Eustace Mullins, so on and so on. And if you really understand, it's all bullshit. There's nothing to collapse, okay? It's not a real thing. And the bottom line is we could easily start issuing our own money. We could basically just bypass the Federal Reserve. We could cancel the debt, or Trump or anybody else in the government could just pay off the debt with a check and say, here, the debt is paid off. And then we're going to go to a new money system and a new currency. and it would just be like what the Germans did. I mean, that's why Germany had to be taken out, okay? Because they showed the world what could happen if you issued your own money and you made your own natural resources and the labor of your own people the basis for your currency, and you actually had a productive population. You could create whatever standard of living you wanted and not be in debt to the international bankers. It's as clear and simple as that. You could read books on it, but you don't need to know anything more than what I just said. The bottom line is the issuance of money is a fairly simple, straightforward thing. And if it's tied to what's known as the actualization of the resources of the country, okay, the actual creation of new wealth, then it would be a blessing beyond belief, and money could stay in circulation and hold its value instead of disappearing from circulation, thus requiring more loans with interest that in the end will decrease the value of the money that they call inflation. And there's many, 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 many people in this country that understand this quite clearly and have written about it, so there really isn't anything to collapse. Okay, the soil is not going to collapse and stop growing crops. The sun is going to continue to rise. The American people are going to continue to be willing to work for a fair wage, and nothing like this is necessary at all. The economic collapse idea is all bullshit. It's based upon this phony Jew money system we have and the idea that we're not going to continue to meet our debt obligations. Now, I know that Trump would never do this, but what he needs to do is to cancel our debt obligations and to start fresh. That's just a dream at this point, but anyway, that's my take on the so-called economic collapse, which is just, it's the same as the virus, in my opinion.
Well, I think that's very, very thoughtful, Paul, and I think you're on to important issues here that deserve consideration. And I think, you know, Dennis was willing to concede that maybe the COVID was a hoax, even though he was insisting that he'd had it himself, which I find, you know, very, very strange. What did you make of that?
Well, it's just, you know, he's just not fully crossed the line as far as the belief. In other words, like a lot of people that were raised, I mean, in our generation, your generation, we're raised to believe certain things based upon very early programming, right? So we believe in the germ theory of disease, right? I mean, you were told as a kid about germs, wash your hands. I'm not saying that hand washing isn't important, because it is and it can be, but the bottom line is everything we're told, look at what they, and you know what, who I mean by they, look at what they've done to everything that they've touched, right? The financial system, the media, Hollywood, music, you know, medicine, everything is a shit show. It's the inverse. So, you know, the bottom line is if they're telling us to be afraid of a virus, you can be pretty sure we don't have to be afraid of a virus. Okay. If they're telling us there's a surge or there's a new strain, you can be pretty sure there's no surge and there's no new strain. I mean, that's the only conclusion you can come to, because all they're doing is deconstructing society. And all these people that are going online and talking about, well, the numbers this and the numbers that, the numbers don't even matter, because guess what? We'd never be talking about any numbers without this idea of there's this new thing called COVID-19. Who would be talking about numbers? I mean, how many people would actually think about, oh, you know, how many people test positive and how many people got it, when they don't even know what it is they, quote, have? And most of the time, all they have is a healing crisis or a cleansing reaction, because the body has to get rid of all the dead and dying cells. It has to get rid of dead and dying bacteria that we all have in us all the time. And when it gets behind and it can't do it properly, it goes into a little healing crisis where the mucus liquefies, the temperature gets raised, you get a little bit of nauseous because the body's telling you no more food for now. I don't want to process food. I want to try to help heal you. I mean, this is all it is. It's all it's ever been. And the average person doesn't even know that the word flu comes from influenza. You know, I've done a rough little survey going back months. I've not met one person that knows the difference between a virus and a bacteria, or that knew that flu came from the Italian word influenza, to be influenced. So it's just, it's a profound state of ignorance we've been put into, by our overlords, and I don't totally fault Dennis for this, but like I said, do you have the internet? Okay, do your keys work on the keyboard, and can you think? And so that would be frustrating to me, and I made that clear earlier in my call, you know. So I'm with you on that.
Well, I don't see how many options we have left. Trump is being betrayed by individuals who ought to be his strongest supporters, given their positions as general counsel to the president and his chief of staff. Obviously, we have Bill Barr, the attorney general, who's been running point for the deep state, it appears now, where Jenna Ellis has called him out. Here's what she reported. A top lawyer in the president's campaign, Jenna Ellis, slammed departing Attorney General Barr, suggesting he should sit down when discussing election fraud and the Hunter Biden scandal because he's already done enough sitting down on the job. I mean, for him to declare he's not going to appoint a special counsel for Hunter Biden when the evidence is massive. I mean, good God. When you even had Tony Bobulinski coming out in public and declaring the criminality of the Biden crime family. I mean, that these people were even running for the highest office in the land is insulting beyond belief and totally inappropriate.
Yeah, and I really come to like Jenna Ellis and also Sidney Powell. They strike me as just real down-to-earth, intelligent, authentic people. And I think the more that Trump surrounds himself with these kind of people, I think it's going to be better for him. It's going to empower him, and it's actually going to bring out the better aspects of his personality.
Mitchell, do we have another caller, or what's up? Oh, I know Mitchell had to take off early, Paul. It's you and me for the duration. Give us further thoughts. What do you think the American people can do? How can we handle the situation as I see it? I mean, if the Supreme Court is going to abdicate its responsibilities, we do have cases coming to the court that are going to require, you know, decisions that are going to make a real difference to the Electoral College outcome. But if the Supreme Court abdicates its role as a nonviolent arbitrator of political decisions that are of the highest order of magnitude, it seems to me that there may be no fallback. Pence is supposed to be in a position today to decide as his role as a president of the Senate whether to accept the disputed electors or the alternative Trump electors sent by the state legislatures. If he were to handle that responsibly and make the appropriate decisions by excluding those that were authorized by the secretaries of state and the governors and accepting those that were set by the state legislatures, which is in accordance with the Constitution, then we could have a resolution as early as today. If he does not do that, however, and if the court system fails, and when you have the Chief Justice compromised by a conversation he had with an associate justice talking about how they can keep Trump from being reelected and where he guarantees he's not going to let that mother effer get reelected. I mean, Paul, we're talking about forms of corruption and treachery and treason that boggle the mind.
Well, they don't boggle my mind. And I've made it clear before, you know, that I don't trust Pence at all. Not one bit. And let me ask you a question, Jim, just for the fun of it. What would your opinion be if you found out that the shot that Pence got was fake and that Pence knew it? Pence knew he was getting a fake shot, but he did it for the media and the cameras behind that blue background, which said safe and effective Operation Warp Speed. What would your opinion of Pence be?
Well, of course, yeah. I hold Pence in contempt. The question is whether he's going to fulfill his duties under the Constitution today. And like you, I'm highly skeptical. But Nancy Pelosi, they didn't even bother to take the cap off of the syringe. I mean, it was all fake.
Right.
I'm sure it's all fake. They don't want to run the risk. They know these are very dangerous. And that's part of the irony, I think, in the Democrats promoting that black and brown people get the shots first. And it turns out the Tucker Carlson had an expose. It's some little twerp who was making that decision, who's a gay rights advocate and some kind of activist, radical activist, making this decision, calling this shot, to put it in a punful fashion. Who gets the shots? This guy who's a complete twerp. He appears to be no one of significance, is apparently the person deciding this issue. But, I would not get the shot. I would avoid it at all costs. There's no law that mandates it. Trump has even said, and Scott Atlas confirmed, that it will not be mandatory. But what they're going to attempt to do, of course, is control the rest of our lives, that although it's mandatory, you're going to be coerced, because you're not going to have the, they're going to promote this passport, this health passport, this COVID pass. And if you don't have it, you'll not be able to fly. Dennis was talking about the airlines going into the toilet. Well, that's true, but it's
all deserve
to have a resurrection, of the airlines.
Of course. But see, the thing is everything is so corrupt now. They're buying everybody. They're buying people's corruption. You mean, you talked about it yourself early in the show when you said that you've heard, I don't know where you heard it or read it, but there's indications that all these people that are now in the Trump administration have been given offers, or know that there's going to be jobs waiting for them at high-priced law firms making all kinds of bucks. So the bottom line is, these people are doing the same thing they've always done when they get control of money, okay? Money that they've never had to earn in many cases. And they can just give it away and buy people. I mean, this is the insulting thing about, the average American out here getting $600. I mean, what a joke, okay? It's better than nothing, but the bottom line is it's a slap in the face when you get right down to it. And, you said it yourself, right, that these people are traitors, okay? They're committing treason, and that's what we're facing. This is going to end up being, in my opinion, a down, dirty street brawl, because it has to be. There's no way that we can go forward under the current system. So I'm kind of with Dennis in this, and I'm looking at the fact that, okay, do we need to ask the legislatures? Do we need to ask the Supreme Court? Do we need to go through all these things to know what the reality is, what the truth is? And as far as this vaccine goes, think about this, Jim, just for the fun of it. It's a little mental exercise. Let's say that they never said anything about COVID-19, and they just said, you know what, we've just come out with the best vaccine we've ever invented, and everybody can get it free. Come and get your vaccine. And you say, what's it for? And they say, oh, it's just good for you. It's good for your health. How many people would take that vaccine? Okay, right? So it's a mind operation, but it's worse than that, because it's bad for you. It's designed to do harm. No vaccine is safe or effective. Okay, no vaccine has ever prevented disease, and vaccines have been proven to do harm. So this is what we're looking at. Okay, they're trying to hurt us. They are hurting us. They've been hurting our children for a very long time. They're ruining everything that they touch. So sooner or later, Trump or no Trump, we're going to have to get down to business, or it's just the same old story. Every 4 years, a big bunch of nothing.
Well, Paul, it would have been a nice debate, I think, that I forfeited by letting Dennis go. But, God.
Did he want to go, or did you push him off?
No, I when I finally got him on, I had intended to keep him on, but I found this whole thing so distressing that I let him go. I could have kept him.
Okay, all right.
And then I went back. I had Mitchell go back to see if he would, we could get him back, and he cut him off, cut off Mitchell. So
yeah. Well, maybe, as a friend of yours, you maybe shouldn't have done that. We've all done things like that, Jim, that we regret. We've said and done things. And when our ego gets offended, And, you know, maybe just, I guess, learn a little lesson from it in hindsight. You know, I've often regretted
it. It's something I have rarely ever done, Paul. I mean, you know, I'm all for free speech and exchange. I don't know why I found it just so distressing. God,
no, you're very gracious. I've made this point before, and I think other people will agree. You're a very gracious host, and in general, you're a very well-mannered and gracious person. And it's taken a lot for you to, you know, have cut me off and hung up on me before. I've actually gotten the hook much quicker on other shows. So,
well, Paul, you have a lot to say. I don't know. Dennis and I had a conversation for over a year. He called me up Sunday just out of the blue, wanting to reestablish, and, you know, I thought, well, great, you know, I'll bring him back on and, you know, talk about all these things. But it reminded me that we'd had that falling out way back when because of his derisive attitude toward Trump, which I don't believe is warranted. And you're somewhere in between, of course. But, I mean, I'm just... I don't know, today I'm so eager to get the American people to Washington, D.C. I think that's what we need to do. I think that's going to be the last resort of the public coming to the defense of the nation. And as I see it, Paul, it's going to fall out that way. I'm having trouble seeing how the Supreme Court is going to do the duty of the Supreme Court. You got the Attorney General betraying the nation. You got this... His chief counsel betraying the nation. You got the chief of staff betraying the nation. Everyone's betraying the nation. This is unbelievable.
Well, I think there's a lot of people are onto it. I mean, you go online, there's multiple YouTube channels, and a lot of them are still up. They're not even taken down yet, and there's plenty of people that are awake. I mean, plenty. And you've seen the kind of turnout at these rallies, even the ones that Alex Jones whips up and so forth. So there's a lot of people that I think are as pissed or even more pissed than you and I that are even more political. They might not have the knowledge or the perspective that you do or that I do, but they know right from wrong, and they know what the score is. And I think that, or I hope that we won't be disappointed in the kind of backlash that is potentially going to occur. So I'm in agreement with you on this. I think that ultimately it's going to be settled, like I said, at a lower level than the high offices of politics. I think it has to be settled there.
Well, I've said before, there are 130 million armed Americans who didn't vote for Joe Biden or Kamala Harris and don't want to see this country turn into a communist cesspool. And, you know, I've always hesitated to use that word because I felt it was an exaggeration in the past, Paul. But looking at the agenda, Biden declaring he wants to have another lockdown, that he's going to impose a nationwide mask mandate, that he is going to go to confiscate our guns. And I say every day they're in office, we grow weaker, grow stronger. Every day they're in office, we grow weaker. So I say to everyone out there, brace yourself, prepare for the worst, stock up on supplies. If you don't know how to defend yourself, by God, acquire some weapons, something you're comfortable with. You cannot count on the police. We've been fighting this war for the United States.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.